You guys remember the challenge last week, right?
No, you don't.
But if you do, maybe some of you actually took it. So this is your test, all right? For the red lines, you are a... Yay, score stars, gold star for you. People, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, all right? God's special possession. We're going to be talking a lot through this verse. This is really kind of our key verse through this entire series. And like I said last week, we talked about just don't push this away. Understand that this is actually who you are, and asking God to show you this is who I am. Because what comes out of us comes out of what we know we are and our true identity. And this is who God says is who we are. And for us to shove this away, even though it looks amazing, is really not honoring God. It's just a place of take it in. And even if it's hard to take in, take this in. Now, there's this whole thing about even everything that God says about us about in Christ is kind of over the top. Have you noticed that? Like when you talk about things in Christ, it's like, really? But when it says, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, it literally transforms us from the inside out. We become different people. And we are a new creation. Old things are gone, and new things have come. We're God's child. We're a joint heir with Jesus. We're the body of Christ. We're the temple, God's temple. We talked about that last week. We're citizens of heaven. We're a royal priesthood. And we have this thing that have happened. The things that we've done, they've been forgiven, but we also have been redeemed. He's redeeming us. He's saved us. And but now, what we also know in these things, we also know there's this place in which God is saying, this is who you are. And then we also, what we learn through our life is to understand it to greater degrees. Like for me, I can look back and I think, man, there's a lot of my life I didn't understand this was who I was to very good. It was true about me, but I had to learn how to understand this place, that what it meant to be a body of Christ and what it meant to be a royal priesthood. Those are things, but it was always who I was. But we see Scripture helping us understand it. So there's this process of knowing who we are, and then God saying who we are, us understanding it, us living it out. Now, when it gets down to places like, you know, being redeemed and saved, it's this kind of process as well. Like we have been redeemed, but we also are being redeemed, and we also will be redeemed. There's this place in which that we experience it fully in the consummation of the kingdom in heaven. And so now we're at this spot where we're all those things. And this place though we're talking today is about holiness, but holiness is often tied to righteousness. And many times when we talk about these two things, is we get them, sometimes we replace them for each other. There are some, these two things, righteousness and holiness, are married. But they're very different, and they don't have the same definition. And many times we get that mixed up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But understanding that when we come to Christ, we're actually made righteous. We're in right standing with God, and that's how often we talk about it. But also, there's this place that now we're to live righteously. There's this process of learning to live righteously, and then we experience full righteousness in heaven, you know? But the same thing with holiness. God has called us to be holy, so you're holy, and now it's talking to this place, we grasp that, but then we live a life of understanding that and living that out, of being holy and be made holy. So there's that process as we go through this. Now today we're going to be talking about this place of being holy. So this is something that I find, here's where we're working from. Very few people have a positive understanding or even a clear understanding what holy means. And often, it often causes a reaction and a response. And this is kind of where we're coming from. I mean, I think that, you know, think about the ways, I talked about this a little bit last week, but think about the ways that you use, you've heard the word holy used, right? I mean, as I said before, is like if someone calls me holy, I know they're harassing me, right? Usually. They're not saying, I really respect who you are and you're holy. They're usually giving me a hard time because it's used in this place of sarcasm. Oh, holier than thou. This understanding that you're above everybody and you're separate because you think you're better than, right? That's usually how we understand that. So it's always used as this place of a non-relatable position of superiority. It's also an expression, holy smokes, right? That's about as biblical as we get on it. It actually came out of Isaiah. But that's where it's just this place of explanation, of excitement, or this place of something rattles you or shocks you. But then there's, and in that same way, it's also really common to put it before curse words. Have you noticed that? Some of you have already been there. I could hear you guys thinking that right away, right? The way you hear holy is right before something that isn't very holy. Have you noticed that? Now, what's funny about this whole history of this is the holiness of God at one point culturally, that if you used God's name or Jesus' name without it being calling out to him or in worship, that was using it in vain, and that was offensive. That was like cussing, right? Now, that's kind of worn down. Most people don't even understand that. I think it's still true, but it's like, then it got to a spot that people would add holy onto holy Jesus or holy God to make a place of emphasizing as a curse word. And then that didn't get well enough, and so then we started putting holy in front of other things, right? And so we're at this place of that it says, thus the expression, I was reading the definition of where it came from, thus the expression combines the blasphemy with excrement or sexual acts. In particularly shocking, this adjective holy is added to intensify the wrongness of the curse. Now that's where we got, so we're working with something right now that's like very few people are like, I've been so excited about this teaching about becoming holy. This is something I've always loved, the beauty of holiness. Usually we're trying to get our mind wrapped around even what it is. And so, as we look at that, if you're a parent, if a child came to you and said, "My goal in life is to be holy," many parents would be concerned for the child. But quite honestly, if that child said that and understood what holy was by the definition of God, that would be the greatest thing they could desire. But we have to understand I'm working from an area where I know that there's triggers in this whole area of holiness. And I think some of that has come a lot from the church itself. Because the church itself has had this place of the holiness of the believer became legalistic and non-relational. It was really, holiness was viewed as a moral behavior in which it was also used to condemn the people in the church oftentimes and even put on the world, and the world has responded to that. And so because of that, we're at a spot where we've now gotten to a tough place, because now this word that is so central to defining God is something that we don't like very well. It causes us to have strange images of revival meetings or gospel trios or the old-time religion or, no smoking or drinking, or you can't do this, or hard position or condemnation with truth, right? And so we're coming from that, but that's not at all what holiness is. And so what's happened many times is because the church is this place of trying to become relevant, we've got to a place in which that we've now put in holiness as something that we don't really want to talk too much about, because it has this reaction towards things. And we don't understand what it truly means. And so one writer puts it this way: as long as the notions of our holiness is limited to doing certain things and not doing other things, we can go through entire lives obeying rules, or at least maintain the appearance of doing so, without dealing with far more fundamental questions: whose are we, and whom do I give my first devotion and loyalty? And here's how this writer describes holiness. God's call to be holy is a radical, all-encompassing claim on our lives, our loves, and our very identity. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ requires nothing less than death from our fallen, egocentric selves in order that we might live and be in Him. So this place of holiness, it's not about, it's tied to righteousness, it's tied to behavior and principles of godliness and how we behave and our moral standards and all those things. But that's not what holiness is. Holiness is this place of being set apart for, in a place that allows us to devote ourselves fully to God. And so the people that Peter is writing in the churches in Asia, they're in this spot where culture and Roman government is quite contrary to how they look and see life and how they believe about all areas of life. And they're starting to feel the persecution from that, and they're suffering. And Peter's telling them, here's what I want you to know. You can't go to either one of these ditches. You can't go to the place when you're suffering and taking it to start conforming, going back to things to take the pressure off. Don't do that. Be who you are. And the other ditches, and don't become fortressed and speak and hide out from the world, right? And so he's helping them, saying, what you need to be is just who you are. You're God's possessions, and live it out right now. Now's your time to do that. Now, my hope in our series here, it's not clicking for some reason. My hope by the end of this teaching, there's basically three things I want you to grasp better. What the holiness of God actually is, and how beautiful it is, that God has made you to be holy, has made you holy, and that what it means for you to be holy. And if you know those, I hope you know more. If you don't know them at all, that I hope you gain that information. Now, in 1 Peter, again, Peter has been at this for like 30 years. Think about this. He's experienced Jesus personally. He's watched his death, his resurrection. He ate with the risen Christ. He was part of Pentecost. He watched the church be formed and this covenant being through the Holy Spirit, being the Holy Spirit infilling the believer and the church starting. And the whole time over these 3 years, he's been going against the tide of culture about those around him. And now he has this life experience. He's influenced by the Holy Spirit. And he's talking to these churches that are scattered around, and he's basically that are experiencing suffering. The verse that we keep using throughout our time, for some reason is not clicking. I think it's because all those children getting brought up. You are the chosen people, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Goes on, in stepping back in 1 Peter, again, it's starting the verse, part of 1 Peter, talking about how we've remember what Christ has done, and what's happened, accomplished through Jesus, that you have a brand new life, you've been born again. And it goes, therefore, with minds that are alert and sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you had lived in ignorance, but just as you are called, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Now, when I was a new Christian, I remember reading verses about, I remember reading this verse very specifically, and I felt like throwing down my Bible. I thought, give me a break. I actually remember saying that out loud. And the reason it was is I didn't really understand the fullness of the gospel. I didn't understand my position. I didn't understand what God had done and this whole thing of being made right with God and all the things that we talked about earlier about what we are in Christ. All I knew as I decided to follow Jesus, I was trying to be a better person. I was trying to be more holy or do something better. And I remember reading these verses, and I just felt like this tipped me over the edge. Like, you got to be kidding me! It just felt discouraging, like because my view of holiness was a place of thinking of it in the sense of it means that I'm supposed to be morally perfect, and I missed much of what holiness was about. When you look at the place of holiness, and you look at these verses, it's talking about this. Holiness is talking about what it's referring to. You have been chosen. You are a holy nation, a special possession, God's people. You know, so that's where it starts out at. And it's this place of understanding that this is who we are. We are made holy. And the understanding of this is that this is how God does this. He does it through calling, making us holy. It's not something that we do. It's something he does. He has set us apart. And so what Peter is saying through this whole, all through Peter, it's basically saying is, this is who you are, you know. Live out who you are. Right? And so, but to understand holiness, really to grasp it, if you start with ourselves, it gets all twisted around. We have to understand God. We have to understand his holiness. And in our culture, you have to realize that I would guess most of you haven't heard lots of teaching on holiness if you've been to church for very long, right? Or understanding it. Because it's something that causes people, they're seeing it through a wrong lens. We often, as a church and as we understand lots of aspects about God. Like we understand, in our church, we understand he's a father, right? And that's a big one, that we're his children, and we can come before him with anything, and he trains, right? That is truly who God is. We love that aspect of God. But there's this other part of God, that God is not just that. He is all that. But holiness is not one of the attributes. Holiness is taking all his attributes and putting them together, and in that, he becomes separate and distinct above all else. There's no one like him. That's where you see in Scripture where it talks about, you know, oh Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name. You know, he's all-knowing. And as right now, he knows I know it's kind of scary. He knows everything that's going on in your heart right now. Every thought you have, every emotion you have, every attitude you had, he understands that. And he loves you at the same time. That's amazing. But he does that for everyone, all over the earth at one time. He's all-knowing. He's all-present, you know. He's all-powerful. He's the creator. He's all of what love is and all the truth is there in who he is. And so there's this spot that you see in Chronicles where it says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. There's no one. He owns everything. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. This is Isaiah when he was commissioned in his ministry. He was set apart. And it started by him understanding the holiness of the Lord. And he begins describing a familiar scene where he describes who God is and how his train filled the temple and how these angels were shouting, holy, 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 and your whole earth is full of your glory. And then at this point where he recognized this and he found himself saying, I'm ruined because of his holiness. He saw his own lack of holiness, right? But he was very attracted. It wasn't pushed away. This holiness is this spot where you're attracted and you're also revering in fear because it's so amazing, right? And so when he did that, he said that what happened was this: the angel flew and got a coal and put on his lips in this vision, and he says, your guilt has been taken away, your sin is atoned for. Now this is a really helpful picture because it's showing that you grasp the holiness of God and he draws you to himself. This symbol is placed that he sets him apart for what God has for him. He atones for his sins, and he says, you are holy. This is so important to understand, is because we often still think of holiness in this place of just moral rules and how, you know, moral purity and all those things, which is very much a part of holiness. But really the part of holiness is, this definition is something that is other than. It's beyond, it's distinct. There's nothing like it, right? It's majestic. I mean, and what we have to understand, though, is in doing that, is when we get that, then it puts us in a spot that we find ourselves responding to God because of his holiness. So what is after he's experienced this place of God making holy, he says, now send me. I'm ready to go. John Piper describes God's holiness as this. I think this is a great definition. God's holiness is his complete and utter uniqueness, distinct from all other beings in his infinite and absolute worth and beauty. His holy behavior is a behavior that accords with the infinite worth and beauty. It's not just behavior. It's that because behavior falls in because that's what is goes along with who he is. Now, the second thing, so the first thing I'd say is the more you understand and the holiness of God, the more you'll find yourself able to respond to him and devoting yourself to him. The second thing is understand that, oops, sorry about that, God has made you holy. You know, think about Moses. Remember Moses in the burning bush, okay? And he says, what about the ground? You're on holy ground. Why? Was the ground perfect? Was it not just dirt? Because God said, you're on holy ground. That ground became set aside for God's purposes, and he made it holy. So he made it holy. Look at the whole thing of the temple. When you see a holiness, is the things of the temple, the objects in the temple itself, the priest. You know, why was this table holy? Because God said, I have set it apart for my purposes. Right? That's what holiness is. The priests were set apart for his purposes. And we are set apart for his purposes. I love the illustration that we're earthen vessels, right? To me, that's a good illustration. I'm an earthen vessel, and guess what? I've been set apart for his purposes. And as an earthen vessel, I get to carry the treasure of God around. That's what holiness is. Because of Christ, we're being made holy. In 1 Peter, it talks about this place of being chosen, being a special possession, that we become a people. In Hebrews, it talks about this covenant that we're under. This covenant I will establish with my people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. He has made us his. Now, so as we look at that, here's another little test for you. Two of those are a person who understands that God is holy and they have been made holy things. All right? I'm on my own, and that's where I was before I came to Jesus. I'm my own, and I do as I choose. That's the way I see life. That's what I see about myself. I'm God's to make my life better. A little closer, but we're saying I'm God's because I want my life to get better. I am God's to be used as he chooses. Ding. I do what I want to make my life better. I do what God wants to make my life better. Or I do what God wants because I have been chosen and I share in and reflect his holiness. And of course, those are the two. Those are the attitude of understanding. Holiness is understanding I've been chosen. I've actually been, this earthen vessel has been set apart to join in to God's holiness. And I can express that. And then what we see in Scripture, though, as well as after we understand, and this part of holiness, I heard someone describe it this way, which I think it holds up. It's helped me figure it out. But there's this process of holiness. You know, when you think of even maybe Moses, or you think about something else, is that in God's mind, he chooses, in his mind, you are holy. And he makes that choice. And that's when he makes a choice, it happens. That's who we are. We're made holy, right? But then there's a spot, it's like he already knew he was on holy ground, but then he told Moses, this is holy ground. And Moses then understood in his mind, this is holy ground. And then Moses made a response to that, right? He began living as that is the truth. And this is really much how we live in our own lives. We can say, God has made us, God is holy. Okay, I get that. And as I get that, I understand that now I've been joined to him. He's chosen me. And now I have this place in which that I have to live it out. And so the scriptures that living it out says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners, in other words, people who are living under the place of holiness, living by a distinctly different than the world, and exiles, abstain from your sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. And it's not who you're made, not who you are. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. In 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4, it says, therefore, after he speaks about our position of holiness, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in his body is done with sin. In other words, sin no longer has to rule us. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you will not join them in their reckless wild living, and they heap abuse on you. That's describing somebody saying that I'm living according to what God has asked me to live. I'm choosing not to conform or go back to the other way of living. Now, being holy has characteristics about it. So when I think about what do we need to be to reach the world, to really reach the mission of going in and bringing God's love to other people, bring God's truth, bring the message of Jesus to people. And quite honestly, we have done lots of things to kind of help. We worked a long time as a church on being relevant. In other words, not being cheesy. We're still a little cheesy because I'm involved, but the reality of it is, you know, to the point that you can bring your friends and it's not you're talking and you're not out of touch with those things and you got coffee and you're talking in normal terms and you know, so that's a big step. That's good, right? You know, we have lots of systems of how we do things and what makes people respond and all those things. Those are fine. But really, quite honestly, you know, the reality of it, survey after survey shows that there's very little difference in behavior of many Christians who call themselves Christians and those who don't call themselves Christians. There's not a distinction, right? And if there is a distinction, sometimes it's a negative distinction, right? And what we need is we need people who live this place of understanding God's holiness and living out a life that represents and brings his majesty, that declares his praises by being this earthen vessel that carries around this treasure within us. And so when I think about what that would look like, being holy, and there's lots of ways you could express this, I really realize that this is something that is throughout Scripture is the distinct, there's many others, but these are some key distinctives. In other words, the place that we as Christians are to be people who actually are living unique lives in which we look differently, that we stand out in a way that's very positive and allows people to see something that is not what they would normally see. That's different in you. There's something that has happened to you because you're connected to this God who's holy. And what I think I would say to help us get more practical with this, someone who's holy, they live in awe of God. You know what I mean? Have you been around somebody who just lives in awe of God? It's so, like, it just affects you, right? We live in awe of God because we understand his holiness. We live in gratitude. We live in worship. Because we understand his holiness. It all flows from understanding, getting connected to the holy God. You know, how about this place in which that we have lives that are surrendered to him? In other words, our life is no longer, it's not ours. We don't run our lives. That is radically different than the world. And we have to show how that freedom comes from the place that we don't ever have to be the people who are the God of our lives. That we have surrendered lives and we say, God, use me as you choose. People who understand and live in holiness are people who love God above all else. It's just like, that is the person who is their anchor, their rock, their fortress, their provider, their comforter, everything. It's God is the head. And then They live that, but they also love others deeply. Holy people are not people who go, you know, and take truth without love and pound it on people's heads or condemn people's truth. People who are holy are people who are at a place where they literally love others to deeper and deeper degrees. They grow in mercy. They grow in compassion. I mean, this is what will bring people to Jesus, is when the church begins being this. You know, that we are people who live by a different set of rule. You know, we are people who are God's citizens, and we are living on this mission on earth. You know, we don't see this as our home. We see heaven as our home. You know, and we have a short time that we see as very valuable, and we live fully to honor God, and since He's chosen us to be connected to Him and to represent Him. And then people who are holy just live by the truth and proclaiming the truth and love of God. That's just like we talked about in that kind of teaching before the series, of this whole thing of it's about love and truth together all the time. But there's a spot of this, there is a spot of in that spot when we understand God's holiness, it starts transforming us in our character and our behavior as well. And we see lots of scriptures talking about this. You know, someone who's holy is always has a life that looks to honor God and sees the world through a very different lens. And I'd say that the thing I'd say that some of the markers that you see in history, like if you look at the Israelites, who he was kind of like a model of he wanting to be God's chosen holy people, and what took them out all the time from that were these things. They were proud. They raised themselves up. I mean, the characteristic that a holy person is someone who is humble, who is honest where they're at and available to God and right where they're at. And they don't raise themselves up as above others, or they don't become their own God. And the other thing is they're just like I talked about before, they become merciful. Just as it says, just as you receive mercy, now show mercy. Your people who experience mercy, now show that. And then this other thing about being sexually pure. You look at all the scripture. What ends up being taking people away from this place of connecting with God and living out this place of holiness and being the model is sexual impurity. It happens throughout scripture. This is a big one. I mean, let's get real here. I don't know anybody who's, other than some people in the church, but other people, my neighbors, all that, none of them see sexuality the way I do. None of them at all. And as a Christian, we'll have a whole different way of looking at sexuality. Of what it says, how do we still stay in this place of truth and love? But we say, this is what is true. But we live it out. You know, we live it out. This is so crucial. This whole thing of purity is we often find ourselves in places of any of these things, humility, or pride, or sexual impurity, or what I said the last one is trusting God above all else. If you look in Scripture, you'll see that what happens in the Israelites all the time, what happened? They started bowing down to idols. They started putting something above God, right? And we don't have little statues usually we go to, but we have idols all the time. The things that we turn to in our pain, the things that we run to, and that we put above God. I mean, and the way, like in our culture, it's and probably most cultures, the love of money is constantly fighting against this place of us trusting in God, right? And so, as people who are we're wanting to be people who aren't controlled by those things. They don't bow down to things of power or money or the sexual desire. They say no. They live in a different place. I mean, what I've realized more and more is transformation. I've been a pastor quite a while, and I've seen people try to get better. Like, try to get over their brokenness, you know? None of you guys, but a few other people I've seen it. we're all in that spot, right? We're trying to say, how does my life start becoming whole, holy, and whole before God? How do I do that? And we often find ourselves going back to this place of trying to not do this and to do this. Not do this, not do this. And you have that moral determination may get you a little ways, but it will not transform you. And what I realize is the people I see transformed and mating into holy people, you know why? They've experienced God's holiness. That's the key. Understanding who God is in that way. Understanding his majesty, understanding his holiness, and that we are no longer our own, we're actually his temple. That it says that we are his temple. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. The people who get that, that it's amazingly powerful on how they can deal with sin. Not because of their own determination, because they know who they are. And they know that they're connected to a holy God. I don't know how many times I've had times in which that I'm starting to do something, and quite honestly, I could probably get away with it until I think about God's presence, and I know he's there. And I know I'm connected to him. And I know I've been called and made holy for his purpose. And now that one thing that I think, I get away with that, it no longer becomes, should I do that or shouldn't I do that or can I get away with that? It becomes, I can't do that. Why? Because I'm connected to God. I'm actually a part of him. He's part of me. I am his temple. I mean, I don't want to dishonor him. And so I do lots of things I would never do normally. Not because I have great moral determination, because I'm grasping who God is, right? So God wants us as a church to be people who get this whole thing of holiness, where we, when we worship, we just find ourselves flooded with his majesty. Man, have you guys ever read that spot where all of a sudden you're going along and then God shows up in this strong way, how much you have perspective and ability to change things you never did before, right? And we need to be people who are always people who are understanding and taking in and glorifying God for his holiness and believing him when he says that we are holy. So I'm going to give you a challenge. The worship team can come up. And I would just spend some time reflecting on God's holiness. And worship is a great way of doing it too. As we're worshiping, begin connecting your heart to how good God is. I mean, this place of his majesty is just so motivating when we get there as far as understanding that. It causes us to respond rightly. And so as we acknowledge him, as we become people who are praising him for who he is and acknowledging him, meditate on holiness. Maybe take the verse of Psalm 97, you can other verses as well. Just meditate on that. Spend time in worshiping him in his holiness. Just understand, whenever you see that word, understand more clearly what that means. And as you go through your week, it's just such a different way that you approach life when you get up and you go, I've been chosen by God, and I am his holy temple, and this earthen vessel has been made right with God and also made holy, and I get to carry around this thing. I'm connected to the holiness of God. It gives you a whole different way of looking at your day. All right? So look at opportunities that you can figure out what God wants you to do and just excel in good deeds. Would you stand?